I believe it is because Paul understood the reason and purpose for man's existence. More specifically, his existence. He understood that he was created for a mission. He was created and was saved to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, we could see this kind of commitment and passion in Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21. Here's what it says.
All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against themselves. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
We are Christ's ambassadors. A couple Sundays ago, we talked about what this meant. This meant that we are God's representative. We are heaven's representatives to this world. And we have a mission. And what is that mission? The mission is Operation Reconciliation, if you want to put it that way. And what is our message? He says, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. See, it is that reason. Reconciliation is the reason that Christ came to this world. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, a thief will come and to kill and to destroy. But he says, but I have come to give you life and give you more abundantly. Ladies and gentlemen, we talked about this last Sunday, that all of us are God's creation of God, but not all of us are children of God. Because of sin, we have become spiritually dead. That's why it's necessary for Christ to come to die for our sin so that he can give us his life. And when we receive his life, because sin has been dealt with, we are not going to die again, but have everlasting life. Paul was very passionate about building the kingdom of God. The question is, how about you and I? Are we as a church, are we as believers, passionate about seeing people getting saved? My prayer is that we are. See, Paul was so committed to do that. That's why in everything that he did, it seems like he lived for those moments. He lived for the moments when a person come to the saving knowledge of God. I mean, we can see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 to verse 33. Here's what it says.
So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved.
So what is Paul's motivation about everything that he does? He says, so that people will be saved. I don't know what Paul is talking about, but he's talking about whatever you do, whether you eat or drink. I don't know what a Christian looks like when he drinks. I don't know what a Christian looks like when he eats. But I think we get the gist, don't we? The very fact is that as Christians, people are looking at us, are watching us, and we need to be careful in the way we live our lives, because we are the representatives of Christ, because we have the message, and that message is that people need to be reconciled with God. I mean, sometimes we are passionate about getting people saved, but we do it out of our convenience. But Paul, even at the hardest point of his life, he was committed and deterred in seeing people saved. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. Here's what it says.
Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
Is that our prayer? That the words that come out of our mouth will result into people finding Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. You know, at an initial investigation of that verse, it seems like Paul was simply saying, even if I am in prison. Problem with us and with me is that sometimes our mission to reach others for Christ, we do it if only it is convenient for us. But at a closer look at this verse, we find that he is using the idea of being an ambassador in chain. In other words, he's talking about the bond, the relationship, the obligation of preaching the gospel is something that is in him. We know that the Apostle Paul, in his life, when he was in prison, some of the prison guards got saved because he was there. How about us? Are we still a representative of God when we are going through some tough times in our lives? See, Paul understood his mission. He understood that he was created for a mission, and that mission is to reach out to others for the sake of the gospel. I had a member in my old church. Her name was Mila Martin, and she was funny because we went through a series of the same thing about preaching and about sharing the gospel, and she got so excited. And so she had this one lady at the bank that she wants to share the gospel to. So as she was going through the drive-thru, she says, "Well, I'm gonna give her a track with the address of our church, and I'm gonna invite her to come to our church." And so she was really focused on that. And as she was she pulled in there, send her check. Her paycheck to be cashed in, and all of a sudden the lady in the bank says, "Ma'am, what denominations do you want this to be in?" So, "I'm Southern Baptist." I mean, she was thinking, "How am I going to get this opportunity?" You know, sometimes at our best effort, it might not work out the way it is. But let me tell you, friends, when we become committed in obeying God, let me tell you, God is going to do wonders even with those mistakes. See, here in South Orlando Baptist, we are passionate about seeing people get saved. You know, the reason that we have services every Sunday here, yes, we come here to encourage one another. Yes, we come here to be encouraged. When sometimes it just we come to have that oomph, so to speak. But let me tell you, the bottom line that we have services every Sunday is so that the gospel of Christ is being preached. And I can guarantee you there will not be many Sundays that you come to this church and the gospel of Christ is not being preached. Because we are committed to do that. We have many groups in this church. Children, adults. That's why we encourage you to become part of that. It's a good place to connect. It's a good place to have mutual encouragement. But the bottom line why we have those groups is simply so that we can engage the gospel. And the gospel is clearly explained to us whenever we have questions. We are passionate about the word of God, about the gospel of Christ being preached. Let me tell you, I'm so proud of our school here, Regency Christian Academy. It is one of the best Christian education that your kids or your neighbors can take advantage of. We provide great Christian education. But let me tell you, the very existence of the church, of the school, is not because of the Christian education. But we have the school there because we want every kid hear and understand that Jesus is the only way to salvation. In this church, we participate in giving to local, state, and worldwide missions, just like you saw what the family is being involved in. Because we are committed to seeing people get saved, that is beyond our reach. That is beyond our reach. Our church is committed to do that. We're so committed that we even provide training in this church throughout the year, helping you helping us as a church to learn how to share our faith. As a matter of fact, there's one class going on now led by Pastor Rick. See, we do all of this because we want the church of God to be equipped to share their faith when the opportunity comes. That's why we are created. That's our mission, to share the gospel of Christ. So this morning, I would like to push this topic a little further to simply look at some essential things that in doing our missions. We're going to look at Acts chapter 15, starting from verse 36 all the way to 16, verse 5. Just put your fingers on that. But one thing that we see, this is the text wherein Paul was starting his second missionary journey. It was at the beginning of his second missionary journey. But as we look at this text, one thing that we find is simply this, that in order to do our mission, we need to have the right passion. We need to have the right passion. Look at verse 36 to verse 38 of Acts 15. Here's what it says.
Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord, and let's see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work.
See, Paul had the right passion. You see, I don't know what went on, but it was something serious. Barnabas wants to take his nephew with him, but Paul says no, because he left us during our first trip. Now, if you read the commentaries, they'll say many reasons why John Mark left them. Well, some will say, well, because he was just immature. Or some maybe because he got sick. But I think one of the writers, I think, had it really onto something, is because he's simply saying that the reason that Mark left Paul and Barnabas in their first trip, it is because John Mark did not believe in the missions of sharing the gospel towards the Gentiles. Said, why do you say that? It is because when he left them, he went straight to Jerusalem instead of going back to Antioch and report the progress of the team. And so here we see that Paul was so passionate about the sharing the gospel that having John to be part of the team this time is going to be an impediment rather than a help. See, Paul was so passionate about sharing the gospel of Christ, so he will do whatever it takes to make it very effective. I guess in today's term, we would call Paul as a person who is driven. You know, some people in this world are driven to make money, driven to reach the height of career, driven to have fame. My question to all of us is, what are you and I driven to do? For Paul, he's driven to see people getting saved. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:16. Here's what he said.
Yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news.
Do you feel the same way? Let me tell you, don't pat me on the back. Paul is simply saying, don't pat me on the back because I am devoted, I am committed to sharing the gospel. So don't pat me on the back. Because this is what I was created for. For him, sharing the gospel of Christ is of utmost importance. Are we the same? Do we have the same passion in seeing people getting saved? Let me tell you, somebody that come to you with passion, you can't help but be drawn, isn't it? I mean, just like this New York fish seller. came across this story. He says, man, this guy was well known because of his enthusiasm and passion. He could sell fish. And he's known to sell every fish that he sells. So one day, throughout the day, he sold all the fish. And then as he was closing up the store, a lady came and he had one little bitty fish left in the tank. And so the lady goes, sir, I want to buy fish. I want to buy big fish for my husband's dinner tonight. And so he worked his magic again. Oh, I got the fish for you. He got the fish and gave it to her and says, how about this? And the lady said, well, that fish really is a little too small. And so he tried it again. So he put back the fish and let it swish there for a little bit because the only fish in the tank. And then keep it up. Oh, I think this big boy you'll really like. And he gave it again. I said, well, he's a little bigger, but still too little for what I'm looking for. And so he tried his lasso. He put it back again there. He says, well, let me see. And oh, this one, you really like this one. So he got the fish and said, here, you take this. This one is really the right size. And the lady goes, well, it's still too small. And then so the lady said, well, let me tell you what. Let me take all three of them. But ladies and gentlemen, in terms of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can never oversell it. As a matter of fact, I don't think we can say enough good things of what the gospel of Christ is all about. So we need to become passionate about doing so, because not until we understand that we are created and we are saved to share the gospel of Christ, we will never be passionate about it. As a matter of fact, Paul says in Romans 13, verse 11, the opposite is this. He says,
and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed.
Context, Paul was encouraging the people to become strong, have to live life in urgency. He says, the time of the end is about to come. He says, wake up. Wake up. I wonder here at South Orlando Baptist if we are awake. That we have that sense of urgency to share our faith towards others. Let me share with you a couple examples of a picture of what being asleep, spiritually asleep, looked like. The first person that we see is Jonah. You know Jonah, the knucklehead Jonah. God says, go to Nineveh. And what did he do? Well, let me go the opposite side. And so, you know, and we know his attitude. What the problem of Jonah is that he was asleep because he is guilty of being the sleep of the unconcerned. As a matter of fact, he didn't want those people to get saved. As a matter of fact, he wanted judgment to fall upon the Ninevites. He could care less if they perished. Well, that might not be us, but I think we may reflect some of that attribute because we are not as concerned as well. Well, let me ask you. We've talked to our friends, to our people with our circle of influence. We could talk to them about so many topics. We could talk about the economy. We talk about politics. We talk about family. But let me ask you, have you shared with a person about the gospel of Christ Jesus? There are 6 billion people alive in this planet. And most of them are spiritually dead. Let me ask you folks, do you believe in hell? I do. The Bible says it is a true place to go. It's a place of eternal burning fire. So let me ask you again, are you concerned about people within your circle of influence? If you see your neighbor's house and it's burning, what would you do? Yeah, you'll continue to go and watch TV. Oh boy, our neighbor's house is burning. Well, no, of course not. Well, I take that back. When I was in Jacksonville, my son burned our couch in our garage, and three people in our neighborhood just was looking at the couch burning. I hope we are not like that, because I think people here in South Orlando, if you see your neighbor's house is burning, I think you would bang on that door and say, "Hey, your house is burning," or at the very least call 911, or get your hose and run, just like what I did when my house was burning. But unfortunately, the hose was too short. And all the three of my neighbors was just going, "Oh, burning, fall." I do hope we don't have that kind of attitude spiritually, because, ladies and gentlemen, those people within our circle of influence, if they don't have Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, at the blink of an eye, they will be engulfed with flame, eternal in hell, because they have not known Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. My prayer is that we are not going to be guilty of the sleep of being unconcerned. Another picture that I like is Peter, James, and John. Remember when Jesus was at the most difficult time of his life. He knew that he was going to be sin for us. It was difficult when he met Satan 3 years before that in the wilderness, and when he was tempted, but nothing compared to the difficulty that Jesus was about to do. That's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweated blood and says, "Father, is there a way that this doesn't have to take place?" But instead he says, "But Lord, not my will be done, but yours." You see, he was in deep anguish, and just like anyone else who is in deep anguish, he went to the closest people in his life. He asked the three disciples, "Please come and pray with me." Wow! What an awesome privilege to pray with the only begotten Son of God. To be part of the most important time in history where Christ is going to provide a sacrifice for sin. But what did these three friends do? Peter, James, and John, they went to sleep. They didn't have the sense of urgency. They sleep the sleep of complacency. Heaven and hell was in a balance. Eternity was at stake. And what they do? But ladies and gentlemen, let's not become so quick to judge them. Aren't we in the guilty of the sleep of complacency when we have lived with our next door for so many years, but yet haven't taken the time to, at the very least, invite them to church? Their eternity is at stake. But what do? Instead of getting in the game, we drop the ball. They said the Titanic received 5 warnings about the icebergs that were there, but they all ignored it. Perhaps the crew and the captain was so confident about the ship, where some people even said even God couldn't sink the ship. Some of the comments that were said. But 35 minutes after that last warning that was given, the sink sank. and the crews were charged of being criminally complacent. I have a strong feeling that this probably sermon, it's not the first sermon you've heard about sharing your faith to others. But yet we have let go of some of those opportunities to share the gospel of Christ with them. Let us wake up. See, we need to have passion. We need to have passion. We need to have the right priority as well. Acts 15, 39 to 41 says,
they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches.
It must have been difficult for Paul to part ways with Barnabas, especially Barnabas being really a wonderful help when he was in his first missionary journey. But instead, he chose Silas. Who was Silas? Silas was a man who was sent from Jerusalem who carried the message that salvation is for all. Gentiles don't have to become a Jew, don't have to be circumcised. So as difficult as it was, Silas was the right choice for the sake of the gospel. He was the priority. Because Paul doesn't take any chances. He doesn't want to take any chances that the gospel will be not preached clearly. As a matter of fact, if we go to Acts 16, verse 1 to 3, he did even push that further. And in this verse, we find that he connected, Timothy joined them in their group. And then as Timothy joined them, he was not a Jew. He was a mixed blood. He's from a Jew and a Gentile. But Paul said, you need to be circumcised. If you're going to come with me and preach the gospel and share the message of the gospel, you need to be circumcised because we don't want people to be questioning you. And you're being uncircumcised, not being accepted. You know, I was thinking about that. If I was Timothy, I'm going to say, well, Paul, come on now. I'm sold. I will follow you. I will go and I will do what you ask me to do. But come on, do you think that's going a little bit too far? You're not going to touch this thing. You know, maybe I'm trying to put too much in this, but oftentimes our mission, our responsibility, which we were created for, sometimes we do it just out of our convenience. But for Paul and for Timothy, it was their top priority. Is it our top priority? James Haddon Spurgeon said, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap into hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their feet, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so easy to lose track of what our priorities are. Our worship is great. Our time of fellowship is great. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, our main priority, our main task is to share the gospel of Christ. Other mission is subservient to that. Not only that we need to have the passion and we need to have the right message, but we need to make it as our priority. But most importantly, we need to have the right message. Look at Acts 16, verse 4 to verse 5. Here's what it says.
As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in their faith and grew daily in numbers.
There were people in the church of Antioch that came and simply said, oh no, receiving Jesus Christ, your Lord and personal Savior, and you can be saved. That's not true, they said. Said you need to become circumcised first. That's why Paul sent this issue to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem gave a directive that salvation was for all. And so that was their mission. So they went from church to church, making sure that each church understand that the message of the gospel is that Christ, through grace, we are saved. Faith in Christ. Salvation can be had. Not by works, not by circumcision. No more, no less. They were very clear in their message. That's why in verse 5 we find that the Bible says, because of the right message, it says that many people, that the church grew daily in numbers. I remember our church went out door to door in this neighborhood. As we went, people shut their doors. They were afraid. But then when we let them know, oh, we're from South Orlando Baptist Church, and some of the doors opened up. Oh, we thought you were those guys that come here all the time and bothering us. The cults. But it blew my mind because some of the comments was this. I didn't think Baptists did this thing. You mean as Baptists, we have the reputation that we are not passionate about people's souls? Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we will be put to shame by the passion and how cults put priority in going and spreading their message. Unfortunately, they have the wrong message. We have the right message. Our passion, when we make soul winning, it becomes our passion, and we make it as our priority. Sharing to them the right message that Jesus is the only way to salvation, people will get saved. People will get saved. Are we passionate? Are we committed? Is it our priority? Fanny Crosby, a blind woman, songwriter, went and visited one of the rescue mission in New York City. And as she stood there in the midst of drunks and drug addicts, she said, anyone here does not have a mother. So one of the young men stood up and she asked her to come forward, and she asked him to come forward, and then he shared why he didn't have a mother. Oh, she cried, her heart was broken, hugged him and prayed for him. And then as she left that rescue mission, she wrote this hymn that night. And the words were, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them that Jesus is mighty to save. And years later, Ira Sankey was singing for Dale Moody in St. Louis. And as he got up, and he was going to sing the song. But before he sang the song, he shared how this song was put together. And before he could sing, a gentleman raised her hand and says, I am that young man. And he came forward and he says, because of her, he says, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. And he says, and now I'm no longer an addict. Friends, we have the right message. We need to take this message and make it our priority and be passionate to share it with others, because it is for that reason why you and I are created and saved. So as you leave this place, let me just challenge you with a couple things. First, I know you have pictures in your mind of people within your circle of influence that need to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. What I want you to do is to get on your knees and start praying for them that they will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. Well, second, that I would like to challenge you. When you go out there are tracks there. But most importantly, we have cards over there. But what I want you to do is this. As you pray for this one person or two or three person, I want you to take this card. And as you pray for this person, you give this person this card. At the very least, invite them to come to church. If you don't have the courage to share the gospel of Christ with them, or you don't know how yet, at least invite them to come to church. Let me ask you, don't get more than three. If you are seeing people that you know, don't get more than three. Because sometimes we get excited and we get 10 and all of a sudden we get overwhelmed. I ask you, get at least one, no more than three, and give this card to somebody and pray that the Lord will work in their heart, that they will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. And ladies and gentlemen, if each and every one of us is going to do this, I'm expecting God to bless our obedience. And let me tell you, I think we will have a church filled of people wanting to worship Him, wanting to glorify Him, because they have found Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. Let us pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I recognize, Lord, that I have not always taken advantage of the opportunity that has presented me. So, Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You wake me up. You wake us up to be passionate about sharing You to others. Lord, I have received You as my Lord and personal Savior. I know, Lord, that my life is secured in You. Eternity is mine to behold with You. And as I journey in this world, I don't have to do it all by myself, but I have You. So, Heavenly Father, let us not lose focus of those few wonderful blessings, that we become passionate in sharing this as well with someone else. And trust, Lord, that they too will receive You as their personal Lord and Savior. And if you're here this morning and you haven't received Jesus Christ, your Lord and personal Savior, the message is for you. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, has died for your sin. Paid for the penalty of your sin. And what you need to do is to simply acknowledge that and say, Lord, I am a sinner. But I praise You and I receive Your sacrifice of offering. Thank You for the gift of forgiveness. And so now, Lord, I want to open my heart and open my life and receive You as my Lord and personal Savior. In Christ's name we pray.